4-4-4, 4-4-4. And the one I thought would be the easiest ended up being the most turgid, but we'll get to that later. The Bulls, 40 unanswered points. They were 7-0 down through a mistake in the third minute. Cardiff scored 40 unanswered points, 33-7, 47. Then we watched the Lions, 35-0 at halftime against Edinburgh, and they won 54-17. Then we watched the Sharkies, 45-0, Macazzolo and Pimpe, two tries in his 100th, shutting out Munster. And then we watched the Stormers go 14-0 up, and I thought, happy days, is it going to be a 50-pointer? And they got the 5 league points. 25 tries to 7 against our Northern Hemisphere counterparts. And that's what happens when you send your B team down to play our best in the Republic. You take a snot club. And one of my 10 takeaways from the weekend, Zells, was full strength South African teams at home are overwhelming understrength touring sides.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, what a weekend. You look at the points on average, the aggregate of the South African teams against them. You mentioned the try tally there. Just overwhelming. The Sharks' performance against Munster, massive. To blank Munster, that takes some doing. And then the Bulls on fire in that first half against Cardiff, and the Lions just absolutely electric in that game against Edinburgh. So we've got another one coming up this weekend, and let's hope for another clean sweep.
You look at, let's start with the Sharks, okay? Because we love them. Because we love winners.
No, that's true.
And when they win and that's they blank true. A team, we love you. We are black, we are white, we are dynamite, okay? The Sharks, 45-0. There's a young fullback from Charlie Hoffman Sirius. Luan?
Gilumia.
Exactly. Fly off all his life at school, captain, top point scorer, Bulland under 18. Again, a product of the sevens, eh? Like Yaku Williams, who went into the under-20s, the winner fullback, into the seven system, straight out. And what I'm loving about JP Peterson, he's like, if the kid's 18 and he's 19, spot he's not on. Going through the under-20 ranks. I want to stick him in there. I want to see what he's going to do, and I'm going to give him the opportunity. And these kids are playing with that freedom.
Yeah.
And we said when they lost at Loftus 41-12, it was two steps back after, the three steps back after 2-4 against the Stormers. But you saw in that game, I just thought there was calm, there was composure. Andre the Giant has been a revelation. Andre Esterhazen at 12. The pack, their scrum is one of the best in the competition. We've always seen that, getting those scrum penalties. But just to see the freshness that they're playing with and that mongrel, which unfortunately wasn't there in the first half of the season. And credit to what JP Peterson is doing and how publicly he's talking about there's a change of philosophy at the Sharks. It's not the Galacticos. He's backing Kai Pratt, 18, 19 years old. He's backing Hilume, 19 years old. He's backing Yaku Williams, 19 years old. Jeez, I just love that. And then he's got that veteran, 22, Ethan Hooker, who's going to be a superstar. And our condolences to the Hooker family for the passing of his dad, Craig. And the Sharks, as they said, they played for him. And then you've got a Grant Williams playing out the season. Just the changes, you know. Sia pulls out at the late withdrawal. Pepsi Buthelezi's outstanding. Jason Jenkins looking like he's about 24 again. The front rows. When I watched them monster that pack up front, and then you look to the bench and Oxenchair and Vincent Koch are sitting there. I think those Munster guys must have just prayed for Limerick.
Make it end. Yeah, mate, I 100% behind you on the changes that JP has made. I agree with it 100%. I think definitely there is no substitute for experience, but there also is no substitute for making sure that your experienced players are not in a comfort zone and know that there is a youngster nipping at their heels, eager for an opportunity and full of enthusiasm. And I think that's what JP is getting right there. I think also what mustn't be underestimated is the impact of clever tactics and playing smart rugby. And the Sharks have flipped from where they were to where they are now. It's a big kicking game. They're back in their boot, they're back in their defense, and they're turning those into attacking opportunities and then converting them. So kudos to them. Glad they bounced back, and let's see how we go.
So if you look at that 45-0, the most impressive thing is Munster 0. I watched a clip with Simon Zeebo, the former Munster Ireland winner, charismatic bloke. He's on Prem Sports as one of the pundits, and they obviously went to him, and there's a lot of internal rivalry there. Especially when Munster take a big one, and they said to him, what do you think of the Munster result? And his answer was, there was a period just before halftime that Munster were on the attack, and had he scored there, he said, could have been a bit different that second half. And the bloke said, what, 45-7?
And he was right.
And he was spot on. So a great 5 points. It keeps him still in 11th, but on the move, they have home games, they have confidence. And I think it's just that you want to see a Sharks team with so much talent actually playing to that talent. And then we talk about the SA schoolboys and the schoolboy systems. And yes, it's the traditional schools that produce some incredible players. But the story of Luan, Charlie Hoffmeyer, Cyrus, Brady was very happy, Braden Paul, so he's from Cyrus, Kobe Bockefeld, just to come on their plane out of position at 15, because he is a natural 10 and a goal kicker. You think he can also do a job on the wing with those feet that he's got. I think that was just such a good news story out of Durban. And there's been very few good news stories out of Durban. And even when the Durbanites thought it was a good news story, we were crushed in Cape Town because they had the Stormers. So that was the one we tick off. The other takeaway for me, Cameron Hanekom being back. 24 minutes, forced a turnover in true Hanekom style. Busy. That tackle he made, the Cardinal scrum, I think it's he tossed him around. I thought he was going to toss him into mid-round, okay? That was like 9 months of frustration out there. Out my way, mate! Just, you see guys come back from a nine-month layoff.
Yeah.
And actually just want to get through 20 minutes. That guy was cleaning out. He was at the bottom of a ruck. He is a special, special player. Former Pole Boys High. A wonderful athlete. Great to see him back.
Yeah, fabulous. And I mean, for South African rugby, a huge, huge weapon to have back in the player pool and back online, because for me, he's a guy who could play eight but can also play open side. Absolute freaking ferocious weapon at the point of contact, at the breakdown, massive work rate. So he just adds to the options for Rusty for the Springboks. Huge, huge boost for the Bulls.
And then Kanan Moody, he's really starting to make that 13 jersey his own. The only critique, and I think he will be as hard on himself as anyone watching him knowing his skill, is doing the hard yards and then that option taking, whether to hold, whether to offload, whether to put through the grubber. There were two or three opportunities that he went through, and maybe just with a little bit more awareness, if he had made the offload, potential tries, but he's cutting the line in like Donnie Gerber style. It's just that link-up play that's not necessarily there, but really looking angry on the field. Now, I love it because he's such a smooth, beautiful, non-phased player. But and he's a unit, 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
So I thought, again, he was outstanding. Now, Twinkle Toes, Curtly Aronson. Just when you think, hey, is Father Time catching him? He shows you, yep, no, yep, no, yep, no. And he was outstanding, Curtly, okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a very good performance from the Bulls all around. And the things that impressed me about Bulls, Lions and Sharks, when they got the big leads a couple of months ago, those games end 54-36, 45-31, 45-30.
Yep.
There's three late tries for the visitors. They've been into the ball. They were tackling in the end like they were defending a one-score lead. And
yep,
that defensive mongrel, and I think that's what would have pleased Rassie Erasmus from a Springbok perspective in terms of the mentality. We're not going to let you get late tries. We're not going to let you get a losing bonus point. And when you come to the Republic, you've got to kind of go back with a story that it's tough.
You've got to work. You've got to work for every point you get. So they are, that defensive mongrel that you mentioned is definitely a traditional South African strength. I think the Bulls really shot out to a massive lead in the first half and then faded in the second half. And part of that had to do with an error rate that went through the roof in the second half. But also they moved away from their kicking game a bit and started to play a bit more rugby. So those two things go hand in hand. And I think they probably would have taken a big lesson out of how that second half went, how Cardiff were more in the game there. But huge result, 47 against a team that's been top four whole season. You know, Cardiff in the mix, absolutely a contender. So huge result.
And one thing about, especially the Welsh sides, when they play the South African teams, regardless of where they are in the league, and we know we battle when we go anywhere near anywhere near Cardiff, Newport, Swansea, Clanachley, wherever we go there, it's always, it's a bar fight. I mean, these Oaks don't go away.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I mean, they could be from Boxburg.
Mate, you're making a bit fall.
No, they could be from Boxburg. I mean, yeah. No matter how many times you pound him, he gets up.
Yeah, that's the truth.
It's like they start the game with Brunners and Coke in them, okay? So they're a tough opponent. And I think that's why when you look at a national level, people have been so disappointed is where's that toughness we see at club level transferred into kind of the national level?
Yeah.
But Cardiff are a good side.
Very.
And for them to put on that kind of performance, and I know a couple of the internationals were out.
Yeah.
But that 33-point surge, and at the heart of that 33-point surge, and he wasn't there against the Stormers, Imbros Papier, he's 28 years old. To me, he's playing the best rugby he's played. He's playing in partnership with Andre Pollard, a double World Cup winner, fly-off. We spoke about Torquay Augustus being a surprise omission. Another surprise omission from the alignment camps, Imbros Papier.
Yep.
On form.
Spot on.
And then I did a little bit of research on his international career. He was picked in 2018 by Rossi. He was picked to play 8 times for the Box. And he got on the field in 6 of those 8 matches. And he totaled 29 minutes in those 6 matches. And his biggest contribution was a 6-minute cameo. He then got given a game against Scotland, second last game of the tour. The Box won 26-20 after being 17-3 up at one stage. He played 78 minutes. Ivan Fonseil came off the bench for 2 minutes. Of that match, 23, Deonti was the one winner and Causey was the other winner. And the 2 halfbacks were the only 4 who haven't won World Cups. Those other 19 were effectively the World Cup final squad.
Insane.
They won 32-12 against England. So the message to him is just keep on playing and keep on knocking at that door.
Yeah,
injuries, loss of form. But wow, we forget the guys. He's played these 140-plus games for the Bulls. He's still only 28. And whatever he's had to work on from 8 years ago, I think he is working on it.
Yeah, look, I mean, Imbros's speed jumps off the screen. You see it, you know, it's easy to pick up. But he actually led the Bulls' kicking game in that match against Cardiff. And I think his tactical prowess, what he brings in that side of the game, has definitely improved over the years in terms of consistency and quality. So I'm sure he's very much on Rossi's radar, even though he wasn't in this recent alignment camps. But he's having a hell of a season and is central to the Bulls' chances of winning a championship.
If you look at the Lions, your second favorite team after the Stormers, Krappies van der Berg, Morne van der Berg, 100th match for the Lions.
Yeah.
The little general scored a try. He's 20th in Lions colors. Looked outstanding, composed for the 56 minutes he was on.
Yeah.
Haseem Peed came on, looked good, finished the game with a try as well. 54-17 victors. For me, the big standout, Ron Venter, last minute, 7 flank to 4 lock. The one area we've been saying, do the Box have enough depth? Play of the match, made the transition so easily. We've taken Peter Steph Detoy, turned him into the best 7 flank in the world. Started with Alistair Kutsia, who moved him. And he can go back to lock, like you say, for his last 2-3 years of test rugby and club rugby. That would have pleased Rossi no end to see that very good talent, Ron Fendt, who's in his alignment camps, come through at 4 lock for the Lions.
I'm not sure you can judge that performance as a lock because the way Edinburgh defended, they made him, Ruan Fenter, look more like Duan from the Mav. I mean, it was just amazing. That try where Frankie Horn breaks out and draws the last man and Ruan Fenter's on his inside, 60 meters down the field to round off the try. Just absolutely sensational show of athleticism from a guy who's packing down in the second row. Incredible. I mean, he is. The Lions have got a pack of oaks that work hard and that sort of balance physicality and grit with real athleticism and speed. And just the amount of work that he got through. I think he averaged 7 meters a carry in that game. Obviously, that massive long-distance try adds to that tally. But between him and Frankie Horn, it was like the two Lucys, regardless of where they were in the set piece, it was that they were just all over the field, involved in attack, involved in defense, massive work rate, and sublime. So there's another player that you can add to the long list of talent we have available to the Springboks, and a guy who I believe definitely can put his hand up to potentially play at number four.
And the Lions, we got five league games to go in the URC. They've got seven wins already. They're seventh on the table. They're the SA Shield winners.
Yeah,
they are on track for their best ever URC season.
Well, I mean, I think they've already done that, haven't they, by winning the Shield?
Winning the Shield, but I'm talking collectively.
They're finishing in the log.
And they've never made a playoff.
Precisely.
And they're a side that they make the playoffs. They can go anywhere and win.
Totally.
So I know Zells, Stormers first, but Lions a very close second. And just great to see the enthusiasm that they're playing with.
Yeah.
Shout out to Cash Van Rooyen. We've given him stick in the past to say, when is this young team of yours going to gel?
Yeah.
It's been 5 years, bud. Jacques Ferry, defensive guru there. One of the great Springbok defensive midfielders. Powerful on attack. Played him on the win. That wonderful try against the Lions 2009 in the corner. Jonah Loma-like to score when he came on as a replacement winner. And Mone Steyn obviously doing the rest there with a conversion and that last minute penalty. So, and Ricardo Lopes there. It's just good to see. It's good to see them winning and winning when you expect them to. We spoke about the derby element, how these guys find an extra arm and a leg for this when they play against their mates. And they just don't have that same mongrel against international teams. But I think this weekend we saw that. We saw South Africa's best say you shouldn't be here if you're not the best.
Totally.
And crush those guys from the north.
No, 100%. And so on that point about the Lions, I mean, if I told you a couple of years ago, if you thought about where the Lions were and where they are now, they have an absolute rock at tight head prop and in Club Akanye. PJ Boita, I've mentioned him a few times, has come through very well at hooker. You look at the stocks that they have in the back row. We just spoke about Ruan Venter, Franco Horn. Back in the day, it was Faf de Klerk. Now it's Krappy. And you've got Hashim Peed behind him, waiting for his opportunity. Chris Smith, the accountant, is at 10, putting the ball in the corners and spreading the uprights, which makes him a very efficient team. And then you've got the danger in the across the back line, overachievers probably in youngsters like Bronson Mills, Henko van Wyk, and then you've got at the back, Kieran Horn, Mr. Dependable with the left boots who does everything they need. So this Lions team has evolved over the years. As much as they don't have the depth that some of the other teams have, they've certainly improved the quality of key players. I mean, I didn't even mention Klikani, who made 20 tackles on the weekend. He's a massive add for this pack. So they've got good pieces in the right places. And so the Lions are serious contenders.
But you talk about veterans, and there's a distinction between, and we used to talk about it in Super Rugby, not every player is going to be a test player. Not every player who was a test player is going to remain as a test player. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make them any less valuable to South African rugby. So if you look in the Stormers setup, the Ruan Nels, the Dan Duplessis, the incredible value, the Dion Fariz that they offer when they return, and the Sanatlas, and you look in their system, the Chris Smith, Pumas, played 4 years for Marty's, won Varsity Cups, went to the Pumas, was very good, went to the Bulls, won a Curry Cup, was very good, then went off, played in the French Pro 12. He's come back. He's been outstanding for the Lions. Sack Solboy, I don't know if I've ever mentioned that, but he's been outstanding for the Lions, taking his kicking form from the Memorial Field, transferring it to Ellis Park, 7 from 7. And just his general calm and really, him and Kruppies are probably the most underrated halfback pairing in the maturity of their game. Knowing when to kick, knowing when to pass, and he allows Kruppies to do those little Antoine Dupont type kicks over the top. But you've got an option kicking from the base at 9 or from 10. And then his goal kicking, he's the first one over 100 points in the league this season. And his accuracy is up there 80% plus. So a big shout out to Chris Smith. I mean, it's nice to see the Sax boys out there doing it. I think he's the only one playing out of 150 in the URC. But well done to him. Looking at your mates at the Stormers, 15,000 made it on a Sunday, a beautiful Sunday. I think it was the highest crowd. It's the highest crowd in the URC this weekend. And I know the owner, CEO Jan Le Roux, is like, oh, 50, we love 25 plus. I said to him, a Sunday match against an indifferent opposition, not really highly rated by the Cape Town public, on a Sunday is sacrilege. Should have been in church, not there. So it's one I had to kind of watch on telly and catch the full game last night. You were there in the coach's box. Run us through it, bro.
Oh, no, it was an interesting game, a bit of a roller coaster. Hot start from us and played some really good rugby in patches and then made some silly mistakes in some of our decision-making at points in the game. But the standouts for me were set piece. I mean, we'll talk about the try later, but that scrum, that Stormers scrum was just absolutely ferocious. The line-out operated very well. And there were moments in that game where the individual brilliance came through. Wandy with a great little grubber and collect for a try. And then also just that sort of that grit, you know, that hustle on defense. Sasha just absolutely flying around the field to make some big try-saving tackles and try-saving moments. So it was a great result, probably a performance we'd want to improve on going forward. But bonus point victory, you can't turn your nose up at that.
Yeah, so you take the euphoria. This was always going to be a difficult game after what happened at Loftus. And we were there, and the emotion, the relief, basically. So there was this euphoria at beating the Bulls at Loftus. Always a big thing for any South African team. But then the relief, having broken that three-match losing cycle, getting back into the top two of the table, against a side that's lower end of the table, but Dragons had lost their last three games away from home by less than 6 points. So they got the losing bonus point. Difficult, difficult team. Tough bastards. Really, they are, okay? And a credit to the boys who come out of Newport. It's not, as Monty says, it's not easy there, okay?
Yeah.
Percy Montgomery went and played for 3 years at Newport back in the day. If you don't know who he is, you're new to the show. Played 102 tests for the Springboks.
What's first you got to?
First ever centurion. Apparently, went to Saks, okay? First ever box centurion out of Saks. First ever listed Springbok Ben Duff out of Saks. So when you're not producing modern day ones, you got to go back into the history.
You got to go find the oldies, yeah.
But I've lost my train of thought now. What was I saying?
I don't know, mate. You were on a rant there. We were talking about, somehow we got to Percy. I'm not sure how. We were talking about Dragons, how hard it is to play them.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know what the hell I was talking about. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
Just looking at the Stormers, though, looking at Sasha, the individual play, okay?
Yeah.
13 kicks, 13 passes, 78 meters carried, the most in the match. Three defenders beaten, the most in the match. Seven tackles, nine carries, the most by a back from the Stormers.
Yeah.
19 points, 10, two tries, three conversions, a penalty. But for me, the most significant, the two try-saving tackles, one in the first half, and that defensive masterclass to get under Rio Dyer and actually save a try. He then knocks one from a touch finder. He misses touch. He misses a difficult conversion. And people are like, oh, he's not doing that. He throws a Hail Mary that gets intercepted, Damian Willemse drops. And people are like, he's inconsistent. He's not. He's a guy that tries everything. And just, I think he's a brilliant rugby player. We should be privileged to be watching him play. And I thought he was outstanding again. And those individual moments do lift a team. And awesome. And he was worth 35 points yesterday to the Stormers.
Yep.
In a game, I felt the Stormers were always going to win, get the bonus point. But I thought they were there 60% mentally because they knew that, as opposed to 100% when they got to Loftus.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think with Sasha, I mean, I constantly rave about the kid, and I've been on the Sasha train from day one. I think anytime you have a young prodigy that comes through like that, there are teething pains where the kid with so much ability and playmaking skill does the sublime and then sometimes does some silly stuff. And that's part of the learning curve. But I think what's common to all of the great, great, greats, the Johnny Wilkinsons, the Dan Carters, etc., Mornay Steyn, is that they kind of maybe don't make the splash plays as often as they get older, but the error rate comes down. And I think that just comes with the experience, right? The more you've tried things and you realize, okay, this works, this doesn't work, you start to get a feel for what to do in which moments and which games. And I think that's something that is part of growing up as a rugby player. But you cannot deny Sasha's ability. I don't think he's anywhere near his ceiling. This guy has got some massive, massive skills and is obviously going places, and he'll take the Stormers with him. So you've got to celebrate the great moments and really enjoy them because he does stuff that other players just can't do.
Just the ease with which he does it, but really that to deny Dwyer the way he had to turn. This guy's one of the quickest in the league.
He's rapid, man.
Welsh international.
So oh, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about Sasha.
And for Sasha to turn, so he's from a standing start. This guy's already on the run.
Yeah.
And actually time his dive to perfection to get his hand under the ball. I mean, that takes incredible mental IQ when it comes to rugby. And also a bit of physics to get under that. And he knew that he had got there first. They say it was simultaneous, but his hand was under first. And there was no way they could give the try. Yep. But that was also in a very interesting period of the game. That try goes, and it's pretty much a one-score game. And the Stormers start looking at each other and thinking, we should be 50 points up. That's what I was going to say. Nick Mallard at halftime and post-game, I caught him and Kitsy talking about it. And I think Nick was just, I mean, he could have looked like Dobbo at the end of the game because they do so many good things, he says, and then that's the inaccuracy. It's the last pass where it doesn't have to be. Damien Willemse does an incredible catch, break, and then the next moment he does a sunny ball, which doesn't really have to, but it's in his, like, it's in his genes, okay? And a poor Rowan Nell on the inside, I mean, hard task master, you know? And he was like, come on, guys. You know, Emi Khan just has to play the hands. It's a try. So when you actually break it down, there were four or five natural tries that were left there. Held up again twice. Evan Ruiz goes through. Busy game. Also 50-50. I've seen those tries given in the past. Did it go forward? Did it go backwards? Did it go to ground? But I think that was the frustrating part watching the Stormers. That could come through being a 50-14 result. But maybe it keeps their feet on the ground. That they had to slog for it. They're not getting ahead of themselves. So that's also a good thing. And the Stormers traditionally not a team that's ever put teams away as you 60 points or a 50 pointer. Kind of get their 5 league points, but do it in a way that kind of you think no one can beat them to. How do they win a game?
Yeah. I think also, like, you know, as much as you were talking about how it kind of keeps their feet on the ground and that, you'd obviously rather learn these kind of lessons, and hopefully you learn from them. Learn these lessons in a 29-21 bonus point win than a 58-16 loss against Leinster. So if you bank these lessons in these games against teams that are in the bottom half of the table, it's going to stand you in good stead at the sharper end of the season. And obviously Sasha is key to that. I think Sasha's work rate in both of those try-saving incidents highlights the kid's character and grits. I don't necessarily think, and I'm sure the Finn Russell fans will disagree with me, but that's not something that's typical of a guy like Finn Russell. You know, I don't think that same grit that Sasha had there is rare. You know, when you have a superstar playmaker who's just absolutely full throttle and burn it to get back and save the team, I think that's a very valuable player.
Look, he's a special, special talent. And while we got him, appreciate him, he's signed till 2029. May he stay as long as he can in the South African domestic game. I think he's there for the next decade with the Springboks, you know, conditioning and fitness permitting. But wonderful talent. Blessed to have him playing at Cape Town. And even if it's on a Sunday, those stands should be kind of chock-a-block. People pay a lot of money to come watch artists come to town for 3 hours. You've got one of the great artists in world rugby at the moment.
Yeah.
He plays for you. And you've got a bloke who plays 12 and 15.
There you go.
Damien Willemse is not far behind.
Exactly.
You've got some incredible talent in that Stormers setup.
Yeah.
Dion Fury, shout out to the old man. 44 minutes. Given player of the match. Paulie de Villiers, come on. Well, what a combination. I'd love to see the two play in tandem. A la Phil War and George Smith. Big Evan Ruiz at 8. Evan Ruiz. 14 carries the most, 11 tackles the most from a Stormer. Marcel Tennyson also very, very strong. Yeah. So a lot of positives outside of the kind of the 8-point differential.
The unsung hero there, mate, is Andre Smith. The Dragons have got this monster four like Levi Douglas, big ball carrier for them. And if you go watch the tape on this game, Andre Smith just spends the whole game hunting this guy. Puts his shoulder in, some massive, massive positive hits from Andre. So I thought he was really good in that game.
And then, I mean, you, give our listeners and our viewers a little bit of insight. You work with these guys every day. You see them every day. The impact of a Dan Duplessis, a Ronell back as a part of the impact of a Dion Fury, Siabela Sanatla coming back. So what does it mean to the Stormers setup when those guys are available and offered for a match 23 contribution?
Yeah, I think those guys are really like the spine of the team because Siabelo, Dan, Ruan, those are guys who are Stormers lifers and haven't been picked for international honours. And so the Stormers campaign really is what their 100% focus is on. And I think that they are selfless guys who just really put their shoulders in, do the hard graft, aren't there for accolades. And I think that is a really great base for this team to kind of operate off. So it's solid, solid players, really good players. And they may not be the sexiest superstars out there doing the craziest things, but they do the fundamentals extremely well, and they are the glue that kind of holds it all together. So fabulous. I mean, sorry to see Siabela out with a bit of a calf injury now for a bit, but was really looking forward to having him back.
And then a guy like Ruan Nell, you know, in New Zealand, the word is mana, it's aura, it's a presence. It's the player that kids follow, that veterans follow. And for me, also brilliant because someone like Sasha, who's going to be a future Stormers captain and be one for a long time, can learn so much from a bloke like him. the standards he sets, the aggression he has on the field, but also he never loses it. He doesn't spit the dummy, throw his toys out the cot. You can see there's an obvious disappointment to a teammate, but there's a pick-me-up straight away. But he sets a standard like, come on, we're better than this. That pass should have gone to hand. That tackle should have been made.
Yeah.
Just his leadership. I think, I said to Dobby, you stumbled on the right captain somehow. And no disrespect to those who have been there before him, but he really is integral. Unlikely to play for the Springboks now, given his age and the position he plays in, with so much coming through in terms of younger talent. But huge, huge for South African rugby in the URC and Investec Champions Cup level and for the Stormers.
Mate, I think you could go much further wrong than Ruan Null at outside centre for the Springboks. Defensively, he's an absolute linchpin for the Stormers. Fabulous player, great leader, all those things you mentioned. And it kind of talks to my point that I made earlier about Sasha, is that, Ruan was 20 when Sasha was 10. So he's 34 years old. Dan Du Plessis is 31. That maturity comes with time. It's just one of those things. You're in the saddle. You've been in these moments before, and you kind of know where it's going. So that composure, I think, is definitely an age-related thing.
So 5 league points for the Stormers. Second on the table, 46 from 13. 10 from 13, they would have taken that at the start of the season. Well, you would have taken that. Great addition. Your first season with them. It's not going too bad. Glasgow, top of the table, just by bonus points, also 10 from 13.
Yep.
Showed their depth in knocking over Leinster. 38-17. Good win in Glasgow. Franco Smith done brilliantly with the Glasgow side. That was without 10 or 11 of their primary Scottish internationals who played in the Six Nations.
Yep.
The Lions, 7th place. The Bulls, 8th place. Sharks, 11th. But they could get close to that 9-10 position, a couple more home wins.
Yep.
So it's looking good for the South African sides going into the final stretch. We play next weekend, this weekend coming URC, and then we're into the last 16, last 8 of the Investec Champions Cup. We're going to get to that now. But we're looking at our Steco moment. Give us the whole beautiful thing about Steco. But first, we hear from the guy who is Steco, Ryobi Hybrid, captain of the Sharks, Springbok inside centre, Andre Esteres, but we know him as Andre the Giant.
Some players choose a side. They've always said a back can never be a forward. But with Steco, Ryobi didn't just reinvent the rules. It changed the entire game. Hybrid tools for a hybrid craftsman. Steco, shaping the future. 40 years of Ryobi credibility.
Yeah, so the Steco Hybrid Power Tools Hero, that's what this segment's all about. Picking out the player who performed to that standard. It's a very high standard, obviously. Some great tries this weekend. I know you've got one that you favour for this weekend. It's hard to argue against it. For me, mate, the try of the season, maybe. The try of the season was that Stormer scrum on Dragons, put in on the Dragons 5-metre line. That Stormer scrum just absolutely obliterated the Dragons tight five. And Evan Roos was on hand to pick the ball up and dive over for a sensational try. That is an ultimate team try for me. And it involved everybody there. I suppose that's the hybrid element. Plenty of power in that. But you've got one. You've got one that you like.
Yeah, well, you talk about hybrid, okay? And hybrid is the ability of one tool to do many things. That storm has packed in many things. They are the tool, okay? From the loose head to the tight head to the hooker, to the 4-lock to the 5-lock to the 6 to the 7 to the 8.
I feel a song coming on.
And when the hookers don't hook anymore, it's just power. That was a tight head, okay? It looked like Stormer's ball, Evan Riss. It's the clearest he's ever walked over, basically, from a pushover try. So ordinarily, that would get any award, okay? Secondly, watching the Bulls game, and Nazam Carr, former Bishops Stormer, playing for the Bulls now, outstanding.
Yeah.
And I mean, this guy knew that Eid Mubarak was coming the next day because he celebrated like it had already come on Friday night, okay? And that...
Do you think it was intentional?
Never, but that kick assist was like a corner kick in soccer, right onto the nut of a striker, back of the net. Loose ball, comes into him, basically, just, he hit the sweet spot. It is the greatest kick assist I've ever seen. 5 points for the Bulls. It was just brilliant, okay? And you look at his match stats, carried,
you've
passed.
You've never had a bad game, mate.
This guy is flourishing under Johan Akerman, and he was peripheral, kind of looking like his career was going nowhere at the Bulls.
Mm.
He is coming to his own. He's a wonderful footballer, and we've seen him play with the kind of form that won him Springbok selection a few years ago. So he would have.
So you're going with that try?
He would have. He was my, it's like something magical has to beat this guy to be the Steco hybrid power tool hero of the week. And then we looked no further. It took 79 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
Makazoli and Pimpi scores a try. Everyone's raving. He finally got a try. The ball didn't come his way much. He worked bloody hard.
On his 100th.
On his 100th against 35 years old. Looks like he's about 19. Incredible physique. Incredible kind of athlete. He leaps to the heavens, plucks the ball out, lands on the ground, beats two, goes on a run. Inside swerve, outside, and those legs are saying, you've got 5 meters to go. There's the Munster 10, I think the captain
coming
of the day,
across,
Brian tackles him, and with this incredible finish, scores. That has to be the moment for me. A wonderful, wonderful servant. And then the irony there is, you've got, he plays in 11, Andre the Giant plays in 12, he's the Steco ambassador. But Mike Sharman from Retroviral, who's the agency for Steco Ryobi in South Africa, they produced the Makazoli and Pimpi story that is on YouTube.
Brilliant.
And you'll see the link there now. Go there and watch it. Sharman's brilliance, Mpimpi's wonderful story, and Steco's involvement. And I got a text from Richard Stevens, the marketing head, Stevens & Co., him and his dad founded the company, who said, how ironic and how beautiful that 11 and 12 are powered by us. And that Mpimpi scores that kind of try. So, Richard, I think there should be something in the post for Mpimpi.
I agree.
Something very powerful.
Good shot.
To continue to power him, because let me tell you, Rassie Erasmus will have noticed he's still there and thereabouts. He's picked a 40-year-old to go to the World Cup, basically, in the past, to play eight. Skulk Brits, don't be surprised if Mpimpi is there or thereabouts. But in any case, for the Sharks, just an incredible performance. And he is my nomination. I don't know if that beats your
power. No, I'll go with it. I love the narrative, mate. So Mpimpi has been such a loyal servant to South African rugby. And for him to celebrate his 100th with two tries, quick fire tries, and the nature of that second one from the kickoff receipt, sensational moment of individual brilliance. When they didn't need to score that. That just goes to show the sort of class and quality of that guy. So I'm happy to sign off, mate. I concur.
You concur. Okay. Then we're going to go into the Investec Champions Cup.
Yes, mate.
And it's time to start thinking about. It's 2 weeks away. It's the last 60. We have two teams in it. We've got the Bulls and we've got the Stormers. They both travel. The Bulls, though, travel to Glasgow where they've won before. And it's a URC team. And the Stormers travel to Toulon, where they won before in a preseason game. And I believe that the former CEO, Paul Zaks, arrived. He was shot out of a plane. And he arrived with the match ball. And that could have put Toulon off, because I think the Stormers won that game in a preseason.
These guys are crazy.
Something like that. I think Dobbo was around as well. One of Dobbo's great stories about... This is an interesting... It's like Gary Player being shot out of... Been shot out of the moon to land at LIV Golf. It had it all, LIV Golf. Just for those who do love golf, I ended up watching a lot of that over the weekend. And I don't normally watch a lot of golf, but just that South African cheers, the singing of the national anthem, just the vibe and everything. And then Zalzi has sent me a few clips. Some guys who never made it to day four. they got a bit of Ricky Lowe in them, and that was the end.
Yeah.
And a bit of Brunners and Coke, and I think Boxburg was on its full display there, okay? I saw Kevin Laverne came out and he said, guys, I see you've been following my tips on left on hooks, but not in public, only in the ring.
No.
Yeah, so that was incredible. Bulls will always feel they can go to Glasgow and win if they're at full strength. Uckers against Franco. There's nothing that says these are two gimmies for home teams in the Investec Champions Cup. We'll know that the barometer of form will be measured this weekend in the Prem and the top 14 because all the internationals are back. You've got Bordeaux who lost to Pau 38-17 of the weekend away, but that's their B team. Big difference there between B and A teams. But if you look at Toulon played their best team at home against Munster and basically hung on for a 1 or 2 point victory.
Yeah.
I do believe the Stormers at full strength can go there and win. Toulon 9 from 19 in the league. They took a big one at the weekend, 47-26 at home against Stade.
Yeah.
There must be that feeling in the squad, Zells, that get through Edinburgh this weekend and then it's the potential of knocking over Toulon, watching the Bulls knock over Glasgow and then hosting a quarterfinal basically the next week in Cape Town against the Bulls.
Unbelievable. That would be absolutely unbelievable and a brilliant outcome, mate. And with my media hat on, I would say that the Stormers and the Bulls having to travel is maybe even better than hosting, not from a commercial standpoint, but South African teams respond well to being written off. And so having to travel to Toulon and being told you can't beat these guys in France and traveling to Glasgow and be told you can't beat these guys in Scotland, that brings the best out of our team. So I absolutely think both of these teams can win. I'm not necessarily saying you should put money on these things for the double, but I definitely think it's possible. There's plenty of talent in both of these squads. You've seen vulnerability recently with Toulon. Was that just a blip? You know, how does Toulon respond to that? I don't know. But certainly the talent level in the Stormer squad and in the Bull squad, there's plenty there to get the job done. It's just, can you do it on the day?
How did, just to give some insight to our viewers and to our listeners, and don't raise your voice too loudly, some of them got your phones in, okay? is how does that squad manage maintaining a top two position? So it's Edinburgh this weekend. A game they should win, given Edinburgh's away form and not all their Scottish internationals back, knowing there's this big one. They can really, it's a history-making game to go to Toulon and then potentially be on the road for another week or come back and host against a South African team that would also have to travel back. Mm. How do they manage both? Or how do the coaching staff manage the expectation of both without one being seen significantly more important than the other?
Mate, I think that you would have as good an idea as I would on that thing. I obviously don't have any experience in picking teams for pro rugby, but what I would say is it must be a hell of a difficult because even sitting in a position where you're not massively invested in the selection of the team, you kind of like, well, so what do you do? Because you want to do well in the URC, you're top two at the moment, and you've just got back on the horse, so you want to keep that momentum. But by the same token, winning a Champions Cup match in France to book your place in the quarterfinals, potentially a home quarterfinal, is a massive carrot. And then you have to consider that if you win that quarterfinal, the following week you're back in action. Sorry, that round of 16 match, the following week you're back in action in that quarterfinal and potentially away from home. So there's a lot of variables to it. There's a lot of unknowns. The temptation is to just keep picking your best team every week, but that can be quite a short-term strategy because you have to think longer term in terms of managing your players, making sure that the next guy up has got minutes on the belt and has got some form behind him so that if he's needed, he can step in and operate close to 100%.
Well, we'll be talking a lot more about Investec Champions Cup later on in the week. And then obviously next week, it will all be Investec Champions Cup. The Bulls and the Stormers. We've got the Sharks in the EPCR Challenge Cup. So it's kind of like there's things for us to play for outside of the URC. South African schoolboy rugby, one of my favorite topics. We produce such incredible schoolboys and we like to just go over the results. There's a lot of old boys from all over the world who tune in. It's bragging rights on Monday, whether you're in Petersburg, Seattle, Sydney, London, Auckland, or maybe even Dubai. but people like to know what their school's first team did. Mike Sharman, one of the icons of Kez, retroviral, creative genius, Sharman's Corner. He was there on Saturday. Does he qualify to be with the big four? Joe Fenikirk, Malcolm Marks, and Brian Habana. The new kid on the block, Bronson Mills. One of my favorites. He made Anker van Wyk for Monument and Kez. Sharmy was there making sure that his corner was looked after. Kez won. And Sharman just wants to say, for the record, there is no truth to the rumor that he started that he scored a lot of tries for Care's first team, because he never played for Care's first team.
Yep.
He was part of the Red Army, but not on the field. So he just wants to emphatically tell people that Sharman's corner is an illusion, but it's a wonderful one.
Indeed.
Before other guys get very angry there. But Care's won. Your big results from school weekend, DHS?
Mate, I saw Westville beat Marisburg College, which I thought was quite interesting. That's quite a big result. Huge win for Sachs over Brackenfell, mate. That's a big one.
I really think we're finding our league now, okay? We've been playing in the Premier for 150 years, okay? Yeah. And festivals. So festivals. And look, then you take the odd whipping from the Borland schools. You play the Grandstand Southern Suburbs, and you just try and get out. Good year to avoid Stellenberg this year. But historically, we got the wood on them, okay?
Yeah.
Still having produced 32 Springboks, Monty being the last one. And I think he matriculated in 1992.
You know what?
Come on, Sachs, we need a Springbok to come out of there. We've had 7 Springboks, Carl Brown, but we need a Springbok to come out there. Kind of changed the Monty narrative a bit. But they did get the win. But great college marched on. 31-15 against Monument.
Yep.
Henke van Wyk's alma mater. But here's an interesting thing. If you want to kick 70-meter drop goals,
wow,
as a schoolboy, play a game at Grey.
Wow.
Okay, we saw Jan Huysen do it. We saw Frans Steen do it. They were at Grey. We saw the Monument 10. He kicked it from 60, but it carried another 15, yeah, okay? Yeah. So he could log it as a 75-meter drop goal. Because you're such a positive reinforcer, when I sent you that clip, your first thing was, it must have been one hell of a wind behind him, okay?
Mate, I watched that clip. The ball goes straight up. So he knew that wind was going to take it 60 meters.
That attitude and altitude, okay. But that was a great, great drop goal. It is on SA Rugby Magazine's socials if you want to go look at that clip. As you said, Westville, that club in Maritzburg. Paul Riss, that was the big... premier game.
Yep.
45-28 against Uffies, and they scored a couple of late tries at the end. Porus won one of, they've been consistently one of the top schools in South Africa in the last couple of years.
Yep.
A lot of your Porus Oaks everywhere. They're playing for every team at the moment. When look at the URC teams, Damian Willemser, one of their iconic products, Billy LaRue, the old boy. Paul Riss, and then you look at Riley Norton, who's just come out in the under-20s. Paul Jim, 45-12 against Durnville. They stayed at home, these guys. They lost to Stellenberg, first time ever. They didn't have to lose this week, and they weren't going to do it twice in a row. And then Stellenberg just went to Worcester Gym, Wilco Lowe's old school. They need a Wilco, man. 78-0, okay? And Drostay High, 35 against Weinberg, 14, which surprised me. And then Grey High, 33-12 against Hudson Park. Dale College won against De Brandfach. I think that is Ronell's old school. I think I was corrected. Okay? Framsbury 24-15 against Selborne College. Pearson 22-17 against St. Andrews College. Graham College 42. Marlo Lumpo 28. And then Noordwaal, that's Gauteng. That's where I took you 2 weeks ago on the Gauteng train. Jeppy 62-14 against St. David's Marist. Kez, a big one. Shami 36-12 against St. John's College. Menlo Park 55-20 St. Albans. Pretoria Boys, they beat St. Stithians 31-24. Hartsfontein, Noordheuvel. Surprised at that result, 41-3. And that's where Embrace Papier went. He went from Swartland, what's called Swartland, which was Peter Steff, to Toy School. And then they transferred him beautifully. As you know, the Borland area
scandalous.
The Borland area is the feeder system into the Bulls.
Yep.
They won 41-3. And then Poch. I'm surprised by this result.
Away win from Volcom.
Yeah, Poch, Volcom won 29-10. That's just some of the results. There are schools, I think schoolboyrugby.co.za, they have every single result.
Yeah.
Super sports schools, they have every kind of match highlight. So our schools rugby just gets incredible coverage, and we have incredible schoolboys. So we love talking about the kind of the future stars. There's nothing like schoolboy rugby. Those early mornings, kind of watch from, if you're in the junior school, from the pickies under 8, you watch right through. And then obviously the under 14s, whether it's E team, F team, A team, it doesn't matter. There's people watching. But Western Cape, obviously the stronghold, the Oaks in Gauteng and Durban, they will, and KZN, they will kind of clap me. And the Eastern Cape Oaks say, hey, you haven't been to the Eastern Cape yet. So great, great schools, Rugger, mate. There's so much going on in South African rugby. There's so much going on for Rassie. And when he's looked at this weekend, How would you say that Bock barometer's looking?
Wow, mate. I mean, just the options available to him through the roof. We mentioned Cam Honeycomb's back on the scene. You spoke about Kanan Moody's form for the Bulls. Paulie de Villiers doing great things at the Stormers. So there's a push coming from that side. And the Sharks' resurgence under JP. New kid on the block in Guillaume at full whack. The options are just endless, mate. So you're starting to get that feeling like we're not too far away from the test season. And some of these foreign teams have timed their visit to the Republic probably at just the wrong time when everybody's starting to think, hey, this may be my last opportunity to really show Rusty something. And you're starting to see it in the performances. So plenty of options available to the national coach. And we've probably got a C team that could finish in the top five in the world. It's ridiculous.
It's something I want to ask you, because it's a combination that's just grown on me every match. And you said early in the show, maybe kind of boxing above their weight as a combination. But the Bronson Mills, Henke van Wyk midfield, outside of Chris Smith, and Kruppie's on his inside.
Mm.
I mean, they're 21 and 24. They're kids in that back line. Henke feels like he's been around forever because he was spoken about like a Marcus Miller when he was 18.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, a few injuries. He was picked for Rusty's touring squad. He played in the SAA game overseas and he actually got injured in that game.
Mm.
But they just seem to be getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I really like the way they play. And we talk about a young Damien Delandy. Now we'll go back to his days when Rusty played him on the wing, then back to the midfield because you had a Jean de Villiers and a Jacques Fourie in your midfield. So how do you break that up? And he learned so much in terms of playmaking. His most underrated part of his game was his passing because he's just such a strong runner. Mm. But like for like, the closest I've kind of seen to a 21-year-old that mirrors Damien Delandy is Bronson Mills. And he's got the coolest name. Sounds like he should be in Hollywood.
Mate, be careful. Stop there. Absolutely. I mean, that whole Lions team has a tradition of punching above their weight. And those two guys definitely are poster boys for that. And I think they're playing fabulous rugby. For me, the guy that's probably closest to what Dugues had when he first came on the scene is Ethan Hooker. Just because of the completeness of his game, the versatility, the power mixed with speed, the handling skills, and then the clutch factor. So the queue for these jobs when these two-time world champions eventually retire, I mean, it's going to be a race. It's going to be like Black Friday, mate. When they open the doors, the number of quality oaks running for the gap is going to be huge.
But I want you to qualify when you say punching above the weight, because if Bronson Mills and Henke van Wyk were the Stormers midfielders, they would just be very good rugby players.
Mm.
We wouldn't say they're punching above their weight.
No, what I mean is, so like Henke van Wyk, when he first came on the scene, right, came with a lot of raps. People were talking about him. Then he got injuries and he was kind of off the radar. People didn't speak so much about him. But that combination of Bronson Mills, who few people would have known before he kind of broke out now with the Lions, and Henke, is not one that would be top billing. Like if you said, Lucanio, I'm Damien Allen, and people are like, oh, wow, okay, yeah, I know those guys. It's quite an unheralded combination. And I think that what you're getting out of them is far exceeds what that billing is, right? They're playing at a very high level. So that's what I mean when I say punching above their weight.
And the consistency.
Yeah.
That they're being fit. They're playing every weekend. And I think the key there is the veteran they've got on the inside. He's been a calming influence. He plays like he's got nothing to prove to himself or the world. He kind of understands his game. In cricket, they say the older you get, the more you understand your game as a batsman. Kind of know what shots you can play, what shots you can't play, and you kind of become very difficult to get out, and you treasure your wicket. It's got to take a good ball to get you out. And I just feel that's how Chris Smith is playing at the moment. He plays a very controlled, good game. Nothing exceptional.
Mm.
No Sasha-type kind of breaks in that. But you look at the end, he's kicked 7 from 7. He's contributed, and those two are really flourishing outside of him. So, again, they play... they play the Dragons this weekend, the Lions. Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
We look at the Damien Delandys, the Jesse Creels, the Lucanio Arms who have been there forever, Ethan Hooker coming in, Andre the Giant being there. Then you look at this young midfield and you think, knowing that Damien Willems is also there as a 12 option, Sasha can play 12. Oh, there's some plenty 12 socks, and you've got Kanan Moody at 13. So there is life beyond Damien Delandy, Jesse Creel, and Lucanio Arms. Post 2027, there's a whole new generation that's coming. And you took Bock Bolters, not just 27, 31 as well. We're in a healthy place.
Very.
Well, that's it. We're in a healthy place.